Twin Cities News Talk. AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Justice and Drew for a Friday, 651-989-5855 if you want to be a part of the program. And use the hashtag TCNT, which is also important because Drew's doing some tweeting. We'll be sending out some photos here in just a few minutes. And there's really valuable information if you search that hashtag TCNT.
Yeah, we've got Representative Nick Zerwas in studio. Brian Miller in studio. He'll be joining us in just a moment. And a friend of Nick's, a friend of the show, Troy Walker. He's a local guy, a local listener. Started DogTagFurniture.com, an organization you sell some, I mean, it's beautiful. These wooden American flags, really gorgeous. But you sell other things as well on the website, dogtagfurniture.com, and the proceeds all go to help.
I pay for veterans' funerals.
Help veterans' families. So I'm going to tweet out, Andrew Lee, TCNT is the Twitter handle. I'm going to use the hashtag TCNT. I'm going to tweet out a link to a picture of one of your American flags. They're absolutely gorgeous. This would make a great gift holiday season. And every time you buy one, you're helping veterans' families in the area.
And if you want one by Christmas, because they're all handmade, we have a lead time. But we'll send you a postcard with a picture of your future flag.
Okay.
Cool. We have a stock photo. So that way you can give something to the family member and say, here, I bought this flag for you, and here's a picture of what it's going to look like.
That's awesome.
And this is one of, as we were discussing, it's one of those issues where we started talking about it and I was just stunned again, where you find out a need for our veterans that wasn't being fully filled and fulfilled that you think it should be. And Representative Nick Zerwas, you're working to make some changes for that.
We are. We're working on legislation. When Troy approached me with the story of his battle buddy committing suicide and the family at that point coming to the realization that they're probably not going to claim their hero's body because they didn't think they could afford the funeral expenses. I was just stunned. I was absolutely stunned. And so as Troy explained how he began Dog Take Furniture just to pay for his battle buddy's funeral, and then realized really the need from there. Say again, Troy, how many funerals have you paid for now with this endeavor?
We financially participated in 32 funerals in the last 4 months alone.
Wow.
So,
that's just
it's staggering.
It's stunning.
It is absolutely stunning. The idea that Troy started this literally by going to his battle buddy's home after he committed suicide to help the family, made the first flag out of scrap wood, strapped the flags to his back, and went door to door to raise money, to provide money to that family for the funeral. It's just an unbelievable story. It just impacted me in ways that I think took days to even truly figure out. And so when I contacted Troy again, I said, okay, we got to find a way to fix what Troy is doing is amazing and inspiring, but quite frankly, guys, it's shameful that in Minnesota we would look to someone to make flags out of scrap wood to pay for the funerals of our soldiers and heroes if their family can't cover those costs. And so I've been working with Troy to try to develop a bill that says if a family cannot afford the funeral expenses for their loved one, we have to find a way to cover that cost as the state of Minnesota. If you served in the Minnesota National Guard, if you served as a Minnesota citizen, and you were in war for us, and you came back and you pass away because of the injury sustained in your battle, Minnesota needs to step up.
Yeah.
What Troy is doing is amazing. What Troy is doing is amazing and inspiring, but
it shouldn't have to be done.
It pisses me off that we have to look to someone like Troy to do this. We need to take care of our servicemen and women.
I absolutely agree. And when you look at in the big scheme of things, you were talking during the break about the amount of an appropriation that something like this would require, and it's
we think about $500,000.
That's nothing.
No.
That is nothing. When you look at all the crap that gets funded out there, all the stupid projects that get funded out there, and they pass through on unanimous votes without even consideration of whether it's necessary or should be a priority, something like this, it should be an absolute no-brainer.
Troy, it's difficult to talk about. It needs to be talked about, though. You mentioned those staggering numbers related to the veteran suicides. Can you speak a little bit to that? What more needs to be done? The veterans that this is happening, that this is where this is taking place, where it's happening in the care of a VA versus those that are not in the care of somebody or those that might even be homeless. It's an issue that I've talked about, you know, throughout my career. But since we're in the middle of it, I just wanted to provide the listener a little bit more perspective on that problem.
Yeah. So first off, in all honesty, I have a degree in psychology and counseling. So I'm a certified counselor in theology and stuff like that. So not only do I help them financially, but I do provide counseling and spiritual guidance. But what a lot happens is when you go to the VA, when I went to the VA to get counseling, it was you would sit there and you would say a military term, let's say TA-50. You'd say, I was wearing my TA-50 gear, which is your battle rattles gear. And the counselor looks at you and says, well, what's that? And then you go and say, well, you know, we're sitting around joking and smoking, which is another military term for sitting around BSing, you know, with your friends.
Sure.
And they go, what's that mean? So you were smoking. And it's like, so you spend 45 minutes of your hour explaining to the counselor these military terms.
And this is a VA counselor.
Yeah, this is a VA counselor. Very few of them are veterans. There are some veterans. But
sure.
I mean, they look at the degrees. I can't get a job at the VA as a counselor. Because I only have a bachelor's degree. I don't have a master's or a PhD.
Just, Lord. God, dang it.
So what happens is these people go in there and they get so frustrated. And then the psychologist says, well, you know, I'm just going to give you, how much medicine do you want? I walked out with 8 prescriptions.
Wow.
And out of those 8 prescriptions, I take 2 today. Two prescriptions every day just to function. An average vet takes about 3.5 pills a day just to function. I'm on Zoloft and I'm on anxiety pills. And the VA will give you not only that, but they'll give you Motrin because apparently Motrin cures everything. And every veteran out there right now is laughing because you walk into the VA, they give you 500 milligrams of Motrin and say, here, have a good day. And then they give Zoloft out like candy, and these people become dependent on this medicine, and they're not getting any of the other. They're getting just the medical prescription. They're trying to talk to the counselor, and the counselors are asking them half the time, well, what does that mean? What does it feel like to be in combat? I had a counselor tell me that I wasn't normal because we killed the guy, and I went back to eat my MRE. I mean, that's part of...
Right. It's part of the...
Yeah. They said, well, you're not normal. So all these veterans coming back are being told by society that it's not normal to kill people. It's not normal to not grieve about it. And they're like, you know, what really bothered me was my battle buddies dying, not the enemy.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's clear as we have this conversation that, you know, it's one of those moments where you could begin to unpack it and unpack it and unpack it. And it should be, and it's something that needs to be talked about. Let's be sure we give out the important information necessary for the person listening right now to what you're doing and for what Nick Zerwas is doing as well.
Go to dogtagfurniture.com. Again, I tweeted out a link to this just a little bit ago at Andrew Lee TCNT, or just search the hashtag TCNT. There's a picture of one of your products. It's absolutely beautiful. Dogtagfurniture.com. You can find out more. We will continue to cover, especially, you know, as we get closer and back into session. Nick, I expect you to keep us updated on the progress of this legislation and especially any resistance that you might meet.
We certainly will. And I've talked to members of the House and Senate, Republicans and Democrats, and I'm yet to find resistance.
Good. Troy Walker, anything else you want the listeners to know?
No, just come. We got apparel for Christmas. We'll get it out to you by Christmas.
Okay. It's Troy Walker with DogTagFurniture.com. Thank you so much for coming in this.
Thank you for your service and for what you continue to do, man.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. 651-989-5855. There is a comedian. His name is Brian Miller. He's going to be joining us in the roundtable along with Representative Nick Zerwas coming up on Twin Cities News Talk.
Justice in...
Hey, the Parody Song Contest is back today. 8:35 this morning, we will have 5 parody song snippets that are all referencing stories we covered this week in the winter.
Don't call it a comeback. It was here last week.
I know.
Okay.
So it's back again.
All right.
The winner this week is going to get a pair of tickets to the world's toughest rodeo, the XL Energy Center, on January 5th.
Awesome!
Yeah! That's a fun event.
It is a fun event.
Really fun event.
Matt and I usually go with you guys yeah, over here. It's fun.
Oh, it's they get silly. They just get silly with the rodeo stuff.
Well, you know what I like about it, though?
There's monkeys.
They stand for the anthem.
The monkeys do?
No.
Oh, sorry.
Well, that'd be quite the trick, wouldn't it? Like, wouldn't be, right? These are some patriotic animals.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Justice and Drew, along
with Sam. I don't know about
you, Sam,
but I love America.
America.
But does your monkey love America?
Representative Nick Zerwas. Depends on where they're from, if you check. Comedian Brian Miller.
Clint Eastwood would totally make a movie about that. If there was like a group of monkeys that worked at a rodeo that always stood for the anthem, he'd make like a 2.5 hour movie out of it.
And you know what? It'd be amazing.
Did you guys see that that they are going to be putting in a zip line across the Mississippi for the Super Bowl festivities?
I thought it was just to alleviate traffic.
I hate zip lines. There is not a more overrated form of entertainment than a zip line.
Really?
It sounds fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
Like,
it is fun.
Have you done a zip line?
It's fun.
Apparently not a very exciting place.
There is no such thing as an exciting zip line.
That's not true. It's like,
John, where have you gone outside that has a zip line before? You'd have to leave your living room.
I know. I do go. I had to come to work every day. I do go out.
He has a zip line from his house to the theater showing Star Wars, so he can just get there very directly.
That's a really good idea.
He doesn't even need one to take him back home. He'll just stay there.
I've never done one of those tours because it sounds kind of fun like once, but they're like, oh, no, you're up there for like 2.5 hours, and you go from zip line platform to platform.
Yeah.
One of those canopy tours?
Yeah.
Oh, I was so psyched for it. I went on the website.
Oh, you weren't tall enough, were you?
Well,
must be this tall to ride this zip line.
They put it on a paper airplane and just tossed it.
It had to be one of those swing seats where your legs go through, you know?
When I realized you had to climb all the ladders,
yeah.
I was like, yes.
That's such a good workout, though.
Come on. You know me. Working out.
It's going to be really hard with legs that small.
Anyway, sorry, guys. I gotta leave early. I gotta get to Lifetime.
Get your pump on. Jim Ratzer was.
God.
Bold North Zip Line. Riders will soar 750 feet across the river. Weather conditions are to be determined, but the view is guaranteed to be spectacular. It's spectacular. Yep.
Yeah. I'm going to bundle up in 8 layers of clothing and strap myself to a wire.
And hopefully not fall into the raging frigid rivers.
Well, don't worry. Jacob Fry's going first. He announced he'll be the first to the zip line. First thought was, watch for Brian Miller at the other end with a hacksaw.
Or just a cream pie. Just right into it. Just... Wow. Classic comedy.
The story says, depending on the weather, the river could be rocking and rolling or it might be frozen. Would you want to go, would you want to go over the zip line over the frozen part of it?
I don't want to go over the open, deadly part of it.
That's true,
it could be fun in the summer. That could be kind of a cooler thing to do, right? When it's nice and warm and, you know, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. The other Super Bowl news was Pink was added to the Super Bowl concert lineup at Armory.
So yeah, I saw that.
You want to go see Pink?
Have you seen the ticket prices for that?
No. $225.
Yeah.
Plus fees. Yeah. So $800.
That's a lot of green for Pink, I'll tell you that.
It's true.
More than By the way, that is a very, very overrated charity, Green for Pink. You know, they do not raise a lot of money. It's kind of a...
Oh man, Fridays make it so hard to transition.
I would love to take part in some of these Super Bowl festivities, but my God, they are not priced for this class of person.
You couldn't even take the light rail down to go to them if you wanted to because you don't have a $5,000 Super Bowl ticket.
No, they make it super convenient. If you park in Brainerd, there's a rickshaw that I can take you. It's real simple, guys. There's a flow chart.
It's a rickshaw attached to a zip line.
Yeah. It's $700.
Take a rickshaw to Hibbing. Yeah. And then just a short 4-hour bus ride.
And Drew, I'm right there with you. All the exorbitant prices, totally why I'm not going to be attending any of these events.
I would
so pricey.
My bride loves Pink. Big Pink fan. Would love to send her to a Pink concert. When I saw that, it's first thing I thought of was like, oh, that'd be a great like Christmas present or something. So I went and looked it up and sorry, honey, if you're listening, you're not getting Pink tickets for Christmas.
Unless you're going by yourself. I'll get you one and I'll see you later.
Well, right?
Yeah.
I just did. Like, you think I go 200, that's a lot of money. Well, no one goes to a concert by themselves.
Right? Mm-hmm.
So if you got like a kid you want to take, or oh my god,
$500
pass.
Yeah, to start with before you've parked and oh Whoa.
Parked. Maybe I'd like to buy a drink while I'm there. Maybe.
Well, those are $50, but it comes in a plastic souvenir cup. Does that help?
That's the greatest scam in the world. But it comes in a cup you're going to throw away, so it all really works out in the end.
We made national news overnight. This is out of Fox News. Prosecutor, investigators didn't do their jobs in the probe of the police killing of an unarmed Australian woman. Well, that was in the national news. We'll go to the Star Tribune story of this. Hennepin County Attorney Mike Freeman told a group of activists on Wednesday that he does not yet have the evidence to file charges against a Minneapolis police officer in the shooting death of Justine Damon. Now, the interesting lead up to this was earlier in the week, the Minneapolis police chief had come out, and it felt like a bit of a trial balloon, kind of like, we know that there's going to be, regardless of what happens with the charges, if there are charges, that there's going to be people upset on either side, and we're prepared for it. I mean, that's not to say I don't know if they have any inside information. They probably don't have any inside information. I'm sure this was just precautionary. But, man, it felt like a bit of a setup.
Sure.
You know, it just felt like they were teeing up for the controversy, regardless of what the outcome was going
to
be.
Like, we don't know what's going to happen, but what if we were to say he got off? How would you guys feel about that?
That's exactly. Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
So this story popped up yesterday, and at first, it sounded like this was a press conference. It's at least the way it was framed in the story. Freeman also criticized investigators for not doing their jobs as they examined whether the Minneapolis police officer Mohammed Noor was justified in shooting and killing Damon. We'll give you the quotes here, but it turns out that it wasn't a press conference. He was talking to these activists who said that they were planning on protesting regardless of whether or not there were charges or weren't charges. And he was caught on video. Yeah, that they came out and they said, we talked about it yesterday. These protesters were like, well, regardless of, we're going to protest anyway.
I don't really understand that
mindset
at all. Like, how can you be so mad about one side, but if the other thing happens, yeah, we can still be mad about that.
Just as mad.
Yeah. That makes no sense to me.
Their position staked out regardless of what happens, and they're going to protest anyway. It makes it completely disingenuous, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's weird.
In a video posted on the Twin Cities Coalition for Justice for Jamar Facebook page, he said, and this is the Hennepin County attorney, I've got to have the evidence, and I don't have it yet. Let me just say it's not my fault. So if it isn't my fault, who didn't do their job? Investigators. They don't work for me. They haven't done their job. Now, that's just a portion of the quotes. And again, I thought originally that this was like some kind of press conference, and it turns out, no, it wasn't. This was like a one-on-one conversation that he was having with individuals.
These are not comments that he wanted to be public, I'm guessing.
No, this is, I mean, I'll tell you right now, Mike Freeman really, really screwed up by saying this. He was trying to give himself wiggle room for a decision that he thinks he's going to have to make, which is to not bring forward charges because there's not evidence to support charges. But to blame the Independent Bureau of Criminal Apprehension and that somehow the reason there won't be charges is because their investigators did a bad or poor job.
Yeah, he's outright saying they did not do their job.
That is unbelievably offensive. And I don't know the details of the investigation. I do not know the non-public evidence. But I'll say this right now. If Mike Freeman has specific complaints where he thinks the investigation is incomplete or not accurate, he needs to bring those complaints public and forward immediately. Mm-hmm. Until that, this is complete and utter crap.
651-989-5855. We've got some more commentary on this coming up as well. Nick Zerwas, comedian Brian Miller, in for the roundtable. We'll be right back.
Justice.
Justice and Drew. Sam is screening your phone calls at 651-989-5855. Use the hashtag TCNT. Representative Nick Zerwas, comedian Brian Miller joining us in studio. So, Hennepin County Attorney Mike Freeman, did he step in it? Or did he? What? How would you classify these comments? Well, let me give you the further comments here, right? So there was a video posted at Twin Cities Coalition for Justice for DeMar Facebook page. Okay, the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension has turned over the case to the Hennepin County Attorney Mike Freeman for charging consideration on September 12th. The group of activists confronted Freeman to ask him what is taking so long in determining whether Knorr would be charged in the shooting of Justine Damon. And further clarification on the comments that one of the organizations made about the protesting. Basically, they billed it as we're having a rally regardless. We're going to get everybody together and rally regardless of whether or not he gets charged or doesn't gets charged. Just to kind of add a further clarification, it wasn't like we're going to riot regardless.
Yeah,
it
was right.
You know. So, in the 5-minute video, the activists approach Freeman at the public event, and we have the audio, and we can post it up. We were going to play some of it, but there's a bunch of music going on in the background. It's really kind of hard to hear, so we'll give you the quotes. One of the individuals asked, "I don't understand why this seems to be such a hard thing." Here's what he said: "Fair question. I have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt the moment he shot the gun he feared for his life, and he used force because he thought he was going to be killed. But he won't answer my questions. I can't talk to her because she's gone, but the other cop just gave us blank that I can't say on the radio. So I guess what I've got to figure out, angles of the shot, gun residues, reckless force, reckless use of force, experts." Then he went on to say, "But if you look at this, here's a nice lady who hears something bad outside. She calls the cops. They don't come. She calls again. They drive up in her alley. She comes out in her jammies, and she's killed by a cop. Sounds easy, doesn't it? Can I prove that the cop shot her? I could have done that the first day." These are the quotes of what, and when I read these, I was just kind of sitting back going, I'm not a legal expert, but I'm not sure he should be saying all this stuff.
The reality is, the Hennepin County attorney was at a far left organizing party when he was confronted by these activists.
Right.
And he was basically feeding to his base and then trying to shift blame for his inaction back onto the BCA. Now, in the second part of the quotes, I think it's pretty accurate. He needs to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Officer Knorr, in fact, did not fear for his life in the moment that he pulled the trigger.
And he says that here. He says, Freeman told the group that before he charges anyone, he has to have, doing the thing with my fingers, sufficient admissible evidence beyond a reasonable doubt. He says that.
And so, and that is a high hurdle for him to meet with basically no witnesses. There's the one witness in the passenger seat that basically just, or the driver's seat, the other police officer, that basically just sees and hears the gunshot go across him.
I got a question from a listener, and it's a little complicated, but the listener tweets in using the hashtag TCNT. Why did Freeman say, I have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Knorr feared for his life? That's an affirmative defense that Knorr's attorney would need to establish if charged.
Yeah, I think.
That is not typically something that the prosecuting attorney needs to have to bring charges.
I think my assumption is that Mike Freeman meant he had to prove that he didn't fear for his life.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
where I got confused with that comment, too.
That's my assumption.
Right.
You know, kind of, because otherwise, the quote doesn't make sense unless the negative is flipped.
Right.
But what bothers me is that first quote. Can you read that first quote again about the investigators? He is blaming, this is an officer-involved shooting by the Minneapolis Police Department. Immediately upon this shooting, the investigation is immediately handed over to the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, a state agency under the Department of Public Safety, under Commissioner Mona Doman, appointed to that position by Governor Mark Dayton. That's the agency that investigates this officer-involved shooting. These are career law enforcement investigators, probably the most highly trained investigators in the state of Minnesota, clearly the most experienced with law enforcement use of force in the state of Minnesota. And the Hennepin County attorney is saying, it's not my fault.
Right.
They did a bad investigation.
Yeah, he says
that. That stuns me.
I've got to have the evidence, and I don't have it yet. Let me just say it's not my fault. So if it isn't my fault, who didn't do their job? Investigators. They don't work for me. They haven't done their job. That was his quote.
And so I think because Hennepin County attorney Mike Freeman made those disparaging comments about the BCA and those BCA investigators in what now has become a public forum, he owes the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension one of two things. He owes it to them and the public to lay out where their investigation was not thorough or complete, or he owes them a direct apology.
Yeah.
Because this is not okay for one government official to lash out at another government agency in public and make these types of accusations that he's basically alleging that someone may get away with murder because someone else didn't do their job. That is a hell of an accusation.
Freeman went on to say, somebody asked him, you do it to innocent poor people all the time, Mike. So why is it so difficult when it's a police officer? One person asked. I have to follow the law, Freeman said. We'll get it done, okay? Freeman then thanked the group, but said he would continue to seek more evidence. I'm not going to make it worse by just doing a knee-jerk charge and seeing what the jury decides. No, no. I have to know what happened before I can charge. Nobody wants it done more than me. That's the big present I want under the Christmas tree. Now, in a statement, Hennepin County attorney spokesperson...
Is this Donald Trump or Mike Freeman?
Gene Hayer said, the office is working diligently on the case to complete the investigation as soon as possible. She declined further comment. But yeah, he says, that's the big present I want under the Christmas tree. Now, wasn't he the one that said that he would have something by the end of the year? So didn't he kind of set the timeline on his own on this?
And it's my understanding, and certainly nothing has come out publicly, that has said that since the BCA has handed off the investigation to the Hennepin County's attorney's office, there is nothing that's publicly been disclosed where the Hennepin County attorney's office has referred the case back to the BCA looking for more evidence or information or follow-up. And so because that has not been disclosed, I have a huge problem with these types of comments by the Hennepin County attorney. I think they were politically expedient.
Yeah.
Comment.
He wanted to get out of that situation.
Yes, and he wanted to blame someone else.
And now his credibility is damaged.
That is crap. It is crap.
Yeah, his credibility and his ability to prosecute this case are really compromised, really damaged.
Yes, absolutely.
So to bring it back around full circle, just so everybody's clear on this, he hasn't sent it back. So they send him the case back on September 12th. And so at this point in time, basically, if he doesn't have enough to charge in the case, and if he's not sending it back, then he needs to say, I don't have enough evidence to put forward a charge, and then we need to move on with life. And he's not willing to do that. If he has a problem with it, then he needs to go back and say, I need more, and he hasn't done that yet.
As far as I know and what's been made public, he has not referred the case back to the BCA for specific follow-ups. And for him to allege something like that is highly, highly irresponsible and just really unfair to the BCA.
Can you imagine? I mean, if that hasn't happened and you're the BCA and you hear these comments, I'd be livid. Livid. Look, we handed it to you. Do your job now, dude. Right.
Well, and they can't. I mean, there's one witness to interview. The other police officer in the car, they interviewed that. I can guarantee you, in his second part of his statement, he talks about bullet trajectories and gunshot residue. There is a 0% chance, a 0% chance, that the BCA sent this case forward without the forensic science review of that evidence being done. So there is trajectory information that they had available to them. there is a gunshot residue that's available to them. So, hey, it is unbelievable. And quite frankly, as far as trajectory information, depending on the bullet path flight, it's probably pretty limited because you're not going through multiple walls that you usually
right.
need to establish a trajectory in the first place. So this is, whether people want to comprehend it or not, this would be an unbelievably difficult case to charge and then try and
absolutely.
Convict.
Absolutely. It always is when it involves a police officer shooting.
Well, and I think this is so much more unique than even that because of the absence of any other witnesses, body camera, anything. And so all of that being said, the fact that the police officer that did the shooting, Officer Noor, didn't provide a statement that can then be impeached by, by later facts developed, this is an unbelievably difficult case to charge. And that is if the BCA did absolutely everything correct. With his allegation that the BCA did an incomplete or a bad investigation, he needs to either be public with what is missing or what was done incorrect, or he needs to apologize. Because in my opinion, I think that is an unfair cloud of doubt to hang over the BCA, which will be tasked, unfortunately, guys, which will be tasked to investigate the next officer-involved shooting. And I don't see how you hang that albatross around their necks when we know they have to investigate whichever one of these comes next.
Well, and it looks like it's a circumstance where you have something that could very well just be a incredibly horrible series of circumstances that ended up in this incredibly tragic accident. And if you isolate it by itself, it's I don't want to say it's easy, but you isolate it by itself and you kind of go, you take the stuff happens route, and Officer Noor's life's going to be changed forever. Probably not going to serve in law enforcement anymore, you know, regardless of charges or not. She's obviously not coming back. That family's broken up, is broken up. But sometimes, and I hate to really simplify it, but sometimes bad crap just happens. And unfortunately, it's not isolated because it's something that happened within Minneapolis with a Minneapolis police officer, and there's no way to escape. It'd be nice to escape that. You know, it'd be nice to be, not nice, but it should be a circumstance where if the Hennepin County attorney doesn't have the evidence because there's not enough evidence, he can come back and just say, look, what we have does not provide us with what we need to bring out charges. There's nothing that we can do about it on that level. But unfortunately, because it happened, where it happened, with who it happened, that is not going to be how this is going to play out.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate that he reacted the way he did under pressure from activists who kind of obviously ambushed him, you know, took him by surprise at this event, and he clearly did not know how to react, and now he's unfortunately on the record, and I don't know where he goes from here.
Well, and on top of this, there was another story that came out today. It's out of the Associated Press. Minneapolis Police Department reduced the psychological tests it gives to new recruits from 5 to 1. As it relied in recent years on a psychiatrist with no experience in law enforcement psychology, according to a report that was put out yesterday. The thing that's interesting about this is, and they do state it in the story, there's no way to know whether Noor's psychological makeup played a role in the decision to pull the trigger or whether any screening could have detected such an inclination, according to this APM report. But the protocol used with Noor and 200 other new officers during the past 5 years is less extensive. When you look at and compare it to other cities and other Minnesota agencies, it's also less rigorous than national best practices. The report brings out some rather interesting information that's worth unpacking and examining to find out whether or not we're putting in the proper protocols. In my opinion, it's less about what happened with Noor because there isn't any way to know. However, again, because it's Minneapolis, because the Minneapolis Police Department, a report like this is going to play into that court of public opinion.
Well, and I think this probably has more to do with Minneapolis Police Department's ability to recruit and retain officers. Understand that this is a department that has been under siege and under attack from all sides, including the mayor and the former chief. And so surprise, surprise, they didn't have that many applicants. And so what do you do when you don't have a ton of applicants? You let through the applicants you got.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And you have to lower the standards a
little
bit.
And this shouldn't surprise anyone. This says way less about the 200 officers that were hired under the new protocol and way more about the failed leadership of Janae Harto as police chief and the failed leadership of Mayor Betsy Hodges.
651-989-5855. All right, so here's what we got on deck. Parody song contest. We have further prizes for this morning's parody song contest.
I was wrong earlier. I said it was going to be World's Toughest Rodeo Tickets. We do have World's Toughest Rodeo Tickets to give away.
Right.
But for the parody song contest, we're going to give away Vikings tickets.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Vikings, Bengals, your
things
NFC
just got wild.
Leading possible one seed in the playoffs, maybe a two seed.
It's a must win, this one.
Yeah,
I would say.
Yeah. Well, they're all kind of must win going down.
Is your parody song contest worthy of giving away Minnesota Vikings?
So.
They usually are. You're giving me a hard time. You do a good job at the parody.
This isn't the Andy Dalton of parody song contest. <is it?
laughs> Also coming up,
it's the Mike Glennon of parody.
I don't know if I'm sure that comedian Brian Miller is aware of this. Representative Nick Zerwas, I don't know how in the loop you are, but you know a legal battle is erupting over this. There was an appointment of Tina Smith to a certain particular seat being vacated by this guy that allegedly groped a bunch of people. I don't know if you're aware of this, and maybe you want to add some thoughts coming up here in a few minutes.
I wish her the best in Greater Minnesota.
651-989-5855. Your preview of the parody song contest on the way. We will get to the latest over this legal battle out of the Pioneer Press. It's all coming up on Justice and Drew. Justice.